I was just joking around with, like, we're talking on the last episode. How do you, you're in a new role. How do you go around and introduce yourself to everyone if they say yes, exactly. How do you go around and introduce yourself to everybody if you're new in IT? I'm like, I just go in and just, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm the new IT dude that was hiding in the server room. And I just came out of the lair for a moment. I do speak Klingon if you need a translator. Like, how do you, introduce ourselves in IT as that person? As I can see that, I think along with, I've been talking about steroids a lot lately. I just think that we should take more steroids. I'm being dead serious. I think that IT guys, because I'm dealing with this like neck issue. We have this thing called nerd neck because we sit in seats all day, and I'm dealing with a cervical spine issue. And I just figured, let's hit it with some anabolic steroids. I'm old enough now. The doctor will prescribe it. You know, let's just see. Have you seen Jeff Bezos? Have you seen him lately? The guy's ripped.
Have you seen Stallone?
Yeah,
you seen Stallone's latest crap?
But can't even move his neck.
He does this.
He's not in IT, though. You know, he's just not. But
he just shows the abuse of the medicine.
No, I think he's pretty good. He's like, what is he? Is he almost 80?
If he's not 90.
I think he's in good shape. I think he's fairly healthy. I think he is. Like, you know, and if he's not, I'm willing to sacrifice. It's like, no. Brandon Hansen, welcome to Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. We're doing this, I don't know, slow intro today. I don't even know if we're supposed to be talking first about if we're doing a show or not. I'm just going with it. I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm happy.
You have a great shirt on. This is an audio show, so I have to describe this a little bit. He has a great shirt on. Never forget. I actually happen to own this shirt myself. It's got a VHS tape. For anyone that doesn't, there's probably be like, what's VHS? With a floppy disk. That's a, what size? Why am I forgetting? It's 3.5 inch floppy.
Yeah, 3.5 inch floppy.
And what we would call an LP. What we would call LP for the rest. You know, remember high speed dubbing?
Yeah.
So tell me, man, I don't know, introduce yourself. What's going on? What do we do on a daily basis?
Well, I'm a director now. Do you want to start from the beginning, or do you want to start from where I'm at now?
That's a good question. If you could take the holodeck off in the background for a second, it might spark some more. I want to see your real life, what you really live in, you know. Not, it's like one of those quads, you know, where people are like, what my family thinks I do, what I actually do. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. We should have that.
I'm turning off the background. I'm just looking for
Love reminiscing. And I think most people that listen to this show don't actually want to talk about anything that's real, because that's what they're stuck in the daytime. You know what I mean? You have a very good clicky keyboard. You probably had an IBM keyboard at one point in your life that made click sound. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We got this.
If you're ever a heavy typer, like people here in the background, they're like, you're a heavy typer, Phil. I'm like, yeah, it's because I miss the old keyboards. Let's go back in time. We'll start wherever you want. How far back in time do you
want? Okay, so in high school, I found out I really loved, I love tech. And so it came naturally easy. I wasn't antisocial or, you know, a dungeon nerd. I was more of the, you know, had a group of friends, but I did my thing and they did their thing.
Yeah.
But what stemmed from that is a lot of people, they didn't understand how to fix their computer. And a lot of it was self-inflicted crap, like, you know, shutting it off without closing out your programs or, you know, things like that. So I'd go to people's houses and make a quick $50.
And, let me ask you this. Because most people just probably still do that and it doesn't do anything. They're probably fine. Why was that? We have to explain to some of the younger generation, why was that a problem?
Well, back in the day on the older computers, like the 386s, 286s, the old hard drives, I think IDE was just starting to come out. Hard drives didn't park. You shut the power down. Some of them, they developed technologies where when the power was cut, it would automatically create a, I can't remember if it was a, a draw, or the heads wanted to automatically get off the discs. So basically the heads would just land right there because they ran with the Bernoulli effect. It's like an air wing effect where the drives are spinning fast enough, the heads just lift off the top. So people would be, they'd be done and they just hit the power and then be like, man, this thing's just not working right. I can't find my files. There's these weird file names on my hard drive I can't do anything with. And I just come over with either PC Tools or Norton Utilities and do a check disk, before check disk out in like DOS 3.0 or whatever. And then I explained to him, I'm like, dude, you got to shut down your computer properly. You got to get out of your programs. You got to, if this, depending on what model you got to park your drives and then turn it off. Because what you're doing is you're getting into the file cabinet, you're pulling out the manila folders, you're laying out all your paperwork and you're like, hey, I'm done. And then you slam on the filing cabinet without putting it all away and sorting it back up. And this is causing you a problem.
So you did a bunch of things very well there. You used metaphors.
Yeah.
To describe a technological problem.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our 1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, we are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, so it was fun back then though. Like, what was the most fun thing about
technology? It was actually fun. Yeah, it was. And then America Online came into town. I applied and I got like, this is like 1995. I was getting paid $13 an hour.
Yeah, baby, I'm rich.
That was big money.
Anything over 10 bucks an hour was like, yeah. First job I had over 10 bucks an hour. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, and they were handing out stock like it was candy, you know, and this is 95, and I met Steve Case, and I got an AOL Letterman jacket, and
yeah, did you have that within reach? You might have to send a picture of that to me.
I sent it to Goodwill. Now they send them money. Yeah. And you know, I got kids that work for me now, and I'm like, hey, I worked at AOL, and they're like, what the hell's that? And I'm like, you know, like literally don't know. And I'm like, oh yeah, you were born in like after the year 1999. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Were you in Utah at the time or down in Virginia where the headquarters was?
Utah. Okay. They opened up the Ogden call center in 95, and I was employee number 31 or 32.
It's pretty sweet. And it was sick.
I mean, we had so much fun.
You're like, Tom Hanks was in a movie about us.
Yeah. It was so much fun. We'd seen things. We'd saw how, you know, hacking was starting to, well, we were watching it start, right? Because people were creating malware for AOL to just scrape the username and password. We were seeing social engineering over the phone calls, you know, to try to get that user password. And then we saw, you know, like we saw AOL run out of, you know, resources. Like we can't hire anybody that knows anything about computers anymore. So they bring people in to, we joke in our inner circles that, you know, they bring people into a meeting room and be like, okay, they put a microwave on the table and they put a computer on the table. And like, pick which one's the computer and you will go around. And people will be scratching their heads and they throw a burrito in and start the microwave up. Be like, all right. And then they filter them out and then they bring those employees to the floor. And I witnessed that. And I witnessed, you know, when they went from hourly to unlimited time on the net, and I watched people just lose their minds over not being able to sign in. And then I moved on because when they joined with Time Warner, I was like, this is a technology company. This is a marketing company that doesn't care about the technology, and it was no longer fun. So
that always sucks when another company buys a company that you loved and then they quickly ruin everything.
Oh, it's how I choose tech today. I mean, I'm looking for an ERP for my organization. And when somebody says private equities, I get sick. Like what's in it for me if it's private equities, you know, cause they just want to make money and they're looking at for short-term dividend gains and reinvesting. Are you kidding me? I mean, some of the stuff that we're running now was private equities held and had no growth for 20 years. And so it's already given such
a wealth of knowledge. It's unbelievable. Most people don't know that. Most people don't know for real. Like when you're evaluating vendors.
Yeah.
Private equity. Yeah. We're just purchased by, we've got this great, you know, bank company that's like, this is so great. They've injected all this funds into like, you know, buying all these other people. And then we're going to mash it all together and we're gonna have this like really bad customer service with like a 20 different products.
You're talking about Computer Associates or software?
No.
By Broadcom. I mean, like,
maybe. Oh. I was just talking about that on the last call.
Well, I mean, I got trained in network. Novell Netware and Novell's headquartered in Utah. So I have some roots. And I was like, I got spun onto VMware in like 2005, 2006, went to work for the power company and back to work.
I have a very detestable background in my corporate life because I come from telecom and data. And I firmly believe that they fully follow the 80-20 rule that 80% of the industry is complete scum and 20% of the industry is, you know, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm really not a fan of a Jordan Belfort type of guy. I really hate the Wolf of Wall Street movie. Every time I see that someone use a Wolf of Wall Street meme on LinkedIn, I think I might lose my mind because you are championing a guy that robbed old people and you're saying, yeah, this is great. Freaking awesome. Let's have him talk at our event. Right. VMware, no. VMware 2024, Broadcom guest lead speaker, you know, like, you know, like, run away. I don't know. That's just, I have a lot of, So it's interesting, the Broadcom thing, because I know a lot of people that are, you know, using, you have VMware. What are we talking about? Oh, my brain just went, you know, like the whole SD-WAN orchestrator and everything is going to affect a lot of networks. And I don't know what that's going to mean for support and security. And it's a fairly big I'm just, that was a fairly big disruption in the space, or it might be.
It's Novell all over again. It's NetWare is dead and all over again for me, because I was a big fan of NetWare, and I cut my teeth with VMware, and I was a virtualization architect for the power company, for Berkshire Hathaway Energy Holdings. And I did 3,700 VMs at 8 data centers, over 60 hosts. I was using Cisco UCS. I could do so many cool things with command line, and I did it all because VMware made this really cool product.
And what do you think is going to happen now?
Well, I read things that just blow my mind, like Broadcom's selling the VMware workstation off of the from VMware. Like, they're like, oh yeah, we'll just move that over here, and
you should buy it. Go ahead, buy it.
Yeah. Someone else is going to sell that. I'm like, dude, it's like the same patented technology of how a hypervisor should work, and how do you cut that up and divide and conquer and be successful? Oh, man, because all the innovation from the hypervisor applies to all the products.
And anyone does not understand, everyone out there listening right now, if you do not understand this conversation, and you are an IT director, you are an IT manager, you are an IT in the ad, if you are on the help desk and you can understand this conversation and you can understand where we're going with this, that right there will differentiate you from a lot. The sad thing is, a lot of executive management does not understand this conversation.
No, they don't.
They do not understand this conversation, and they do not understand the value of an IT director, IT manager, VP of IT, CIO, CTO, CISO.
Yeah. How many titles do we need? I mean,
they do not understand how to differentiate, to even care whether their IT management or IT leadership does understand this. And that can be make or break for your business.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're blowing my mind. I mean, I have not had this much fun in the first, I don't know, what is it? Have we really been talking for 20 minutes already?
16, I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to go. So, but what does this say about, here's where we can go, and I don't talk politics. I really don't. But what does this say about what could happen to businesses in this country and how it could affect things, this continuing to go from this capitalistic, and I'm all for capitalism, okay? Yeah. What does this say from all the security, the great migration to security? I'm going into security. I just find that to be the great migration. What does this say about all that? Are we shooting ourselves in the foot? Are we just creating? Is it like the Microsoft thing? Well, we're gonna make the operating system, and we're also gonna make the malware. The irony of the, like, you know, remember the, you know, the,
where are the great creators going? Where are the people that created NetWare? Where'd they go? Where are the great people that created VMware? Hey, let's talk games. Blizzard's not even the same company. Where did the great people that created the great Blizzard title?
Well, you tell me what did happen to that, because all I remember about Blizzard was that it was a work hard, play hard, total like egomaniac type of like internal company, which is like really all of these, right?
Well, they turned into that.
Okay. Then good. So you tell me.
I don't know. I think what happens is like right now I work for 100% employee owned company.
Great.
It's a construction company. So we dig in the dirt, right? And we have big backhoes, big loaders, big construction equipment. Yep. Now, most construction companies are owned by like one guy or a couple or family.
Sure.
And they make a lot of money, right? They bring that money in and they did really well. So then they roll up to the job site in their brand new Ford. It's all decked out.
Yeah, Denali. Let's throw GMC in there too.
Maybe something from GMC.
I was looking at a dually diesel the other day. I'm like, I need 130,000. Right?
So they roll up brand new truck because the job did good. Hey, thanks. Yep. Thanks, guys. Here's some pizza. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Let's do that again, you know? And then how do you think the construction equipment looks? Did you think the guy operating this equipment, it's not my equipment, you know, F him, you know, they're operating and beating the hell out of it. And you get down and you look at that company B, you know, that's not the 100% employee owned, and their equipment looks like it's got a million hours on it, and it's not even 2 years old. Then you roll over to the employee owned company where everybody's working for themselves. Everybody wins together. We're profitable. We all pay each other back through incentives. Our employee stock goes up. Our equipment looks, guy gets out of it. He's wiping it down. It's his.
It's true.
So
when, it's true.
I where love does it. You asked me about like what happened to Blizzard? What happened to VMware? Well, yeah, guys got money and then they sold their interests and they're probably living the life.
Love it. So, I love everything that you just said. I do. I really do believe that if you, if you can be like, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. I say that a lot. It really does. Yeah, but right. You know, do people really get it? Do they really embrace that?
Honestly, I think it comes down to ownership and accountability. So if I'm rolling the dice and I'm just punching in and punching out 40 hours a week, and I'm not owning it, it's not mine.
The other thing about is what the employee owned. The other thing about play owned, everyone holds each other accountable. If someone's not picking up the slack, like, dude, get the hell out of here.
That's soap and sock. Till they get on board.
Soap and sock.
I got to get out of here. I just don't
soap
fit
and
in.
Sock.
Like, yeah, yeah. We just soap and sock management. Show up and work and
yeah,
work with,
yeah, yeah. You know? I always tell my guys to come on. I'm like, you don't ever have to worry about getting fired here because you'll just fire yourself. Soap and sock.
Every time.
We have a Greg the Frenchman. We need to get on this. I know it's not the number one priority. Greg the Frenchman's my integrator. He's really the smart guy behind the scenes that does all our AI stuff and everything. He keeps me in check because I have these wild ideas that come up all the time. Soap and sock. We need to have that added to the IT Urban Dictionary. So we already have AI scraping every episode, coming up with every terminology that an IT director or someone uses, and we're going to put it into an urban dictionary, and I want to sell it on Amazon or give it away or something. But it was like, you know, the other one was like, you know, herding cats, you know, like a term used by IT directors to talk about end users and like, you know.
I got three little girls at home. Herding cats is a full-time job.
Yeah, I got four girls, four boys. Yeah. Beat that. I got holes in the wall. I got holes in the wall and emotions going on.
Yeah.
I got broken windows. Broken
you
hearts.
You can put a dollar value to and girls is emotional damage. So
yeah, yeah, yeah. Broken hearts, broken windows.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the boys are the ones with the broken hearts and the girls are breaking windows. No. I don't know. It's really not that wild over here. We do get along well. I do love my family. We have great family time. That's why I try to do the job that I do so I can be in front of them. I don't even know. Okay, so let's reset now.
Okay.
We've already hit Broadcom. That's a sinking ship. Run for the hills.
Yeah.
Run
right?
for this. We've not really talked. Like, we didn't talk enough. We talked about AOL. And, you have the best AOL story. I've had other AOL people. That one's... I actually want to know, like, why was it so fun? Like, what were you actually doing there? What were you doing in AOL?
I started off talking to customers that would call in, and we call them members. For the first 2 months, that's what I did. But because I was
What were we paying for AOL back then? Was it as much as $50? I don't even remember. Was it 12 bucks?
$10 for 5 hours a month. It was $10 for 5 hours of online time.
Hmm. It was hours. How did we even measure hours? Would we tell them like, hey, you got to get a modem? Like, how do you convince someone? Like, how do we tell them like what was troubleshooting?
They were given the floppy disks out in the mail. Yeah.
I remember that. We threw those like frisbees.
Yeah. And so they would, people would get those floppy disks and like free software at the time was unheard of. So, and shareware was just getting started. Right. So, people will get this free software like, well, crap, I got to be able to use this software. It's like, you know, it's like us old men. We can't throw away our cords. You know, we got to buy something to use with this cord.
Mm.
So they
have the cord box. Yeah, I got the cord box.
So AOL probably made the modem sales go up because people get the software and they're like, well, I need a modem. Well, I've got a computer. Hmm. So they just make it happen. But a lot of those phone calls when I was working for that 2 months was people that would have a word processor that they could fit that disk into. And I was like, no, dude, you got to have a real computer.
I can't remember what ultimately happened with all the AOL users right now. So like my dad still has, you know, like his email address. I had to take his computer away. So everyone, if you want to email him, it doesn't matter. It's capangel@AOL.com. It's not going to go anywhere. It's going to go into the abyss. But yeah, you know, he, cause he's captain of the Blue Angel, capangel@AOL.com, still using it. I might have the password so I can log in and check his emails for him, because he's beyond the time where I can allow him to touch a computer anymore. It's way too dangerous.
You probably ought to check, have I been pwned, to make sure that password hasn't been surfaced since somewhere else.
It's probably he already, what broke the camel's back, so to speak, metaphorically, so to speak, was the, one of his friends like emailing me like, hey, is everything okay with like whatever, because I sent the gift cards. And I was like, oh,
I'm dead serious.
I called dad. He's like, yeah, well, Jim from Microsoft called me and said he was going to clean my computer. And I was like, oh gosh. I started going down this like, you know, it was crazy when you talk about social engineering. The guy went, I had to go so far to like just destroy everything, like get rid of all computers, try to just like erase all traces of everything. Just don't let like my dad get his hands on anything, because there's no point anymore. And the guy went, so for the Microsoft guy, the Jim from Microsoft who needs to clean your computers, I'm calling from Microsoft because there's a security warning. And if you don't like help me log in, some remote log me in thing, you know, then, you know, I was like, okay. So I tried to do like a sting operation, eventually found out he was in India, and he wanted me help with some SIP trunking so that, you know, he could make 1-800 calls via, you know, Seattle, via Dallas, Texas to people. And the whole thing was quite wild. This guy had a whole ring of like elderly people that were helping him open up bank accounts and transfer money. And he was going to pay him $500 a month. And I know this sounds crazy, but he eventually got to the point where he sent my dad a letter, a certified piece of mail from Microsoft that said, we can't get a hold of you. We need you to call this 1-800 number right now. And I got an alert from my dad's, like, you know, UPS alert or something. And it said it was coming from like MicroStore, which was this guy. MicroStore, by the way, everyone, if you Google it, it's MicroStore or something out of like Texas. But, and I got the alert. I was like, I called like the home, like the, we have like 24/7 care for my dad at his house. And I was like, I'm like, you need to check the mail now. Get this mail before. They're like, oh, we found it. It's already opened. He had called it. He called the number. It's like, no.
I can't believe it.
It's amazing. It's amazing that this, the stuff that, that people do, and I don't know where we're supposed to go with that.
There's a lot of YouTube. It all came from
AOL. You can't protect the old people. You cannot. You can try, but the best way to do it is to erase all digital access to anything.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime, due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our $1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, we are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best, and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier, and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, well, the scams just keep coming. I mean, from the Medicare, Medicaid, robo-dialers. The other thing that I found is, like, I've got some elderly in my close family, and as if they have a POTS line still, or the original number they had for, like, last 50 years, or their data is out there, and that's what they're farming to contact them. It's almost best to start over with a new identity, a new digital identity, which is email and telephone number, to avoid being harvested from those lists.
I did all of that. Changed the POTS line to everyone knew forever, right? Like, like, send out a family email. Hey, by the way, here's what's going on. You know, here's a new phone number. Do not give this out to anyone. Change the phone number twice. Change the email twice. That's why I said, I don't care about AOL anymore. Changed like literally everything, you know, like, I changed everything. Didn't work. Had to send them a first class piece of mail. Please call to make an outbound call to them to get the information. It was crazy. Anywho, that's.
I must have to change it to a PO box.
Yeah,
you do a redirect on what's going to that address. I don't know. There's got to be a way around this, because I'm wondering, you know, what happens when we become elderly? I mean, how are we going to be hacked? What are we going to be blind to?
This is what I'm thinking. Set up a family trust, divide it amongst the kids that are all fighting amongst each other right now. Anyways. Immediately now take all of my money and start sifting it into various different LLCs that get deposited into various different kids' bank accounts. So make the kids swear and write a piece of, like, you know, write something that, like, this much money I will be transferring to my father a month, and I will be buying the food, and, like, literally own nothing. My goal is to, like, own everything, but own nothing.
Yeah.
And be prepared to not care if you are, like, be prepared to own nothing and be okay being poor, I guess.
I've known some pretty successful people that aren't here with us anymore, and I think for them, they just kept their lines of communication closed.
Yeah.
They just kept them open with who they knew and did not allow anything in. But I think for some, the ones that we're getting infiltrated, I think for the ones that I knew, I think they were possibly had something to do with a level of loneliness, even though they were surrounded with people.
Yes.
I don't know. It's got to be a psychology thing.
There's like the eight ways that people get hacked, right? There's like the eight social, like, ways that people get hacked. And the love triangle, like, the loneliness one is one of them.
If you don't have Instagram, get Instagram. You'll get an idea what that looks like.
No, staying away. Every time I log in, I'm like, no, look away.
Really? I have like 10 people that I follow and then follow me, but I get like all these, like, I'm like, this isn't a real person.
No.
They're texting me like, hey, let's be friends. I'm like, no,